Welcome to a new episode of BFRR, our Bitcoin, Fiat, and Rock and Roll podcast that explores the intersection of traditional finance, digital assets, and digital money, and helps you understand how digital assets and money will evolve in the future. I'm Michael Blaschke, and in today's episode, we cover a groundbreaking development in Switzerland's digital asset landscape. I'm joined by Lydia Kurt, CEO of BX Digital, which just became the first Swiss financial market infrastructure to receive FINMA approval for a DLT trading facility. Lydia is no stranger to me or to pioneering work in digital finance. We previously worked together at the startup Swiss Stablecoin, where we helped develop a Swiss franc stablecoin. Now she's leading BX Digital's charge to innovate how assets are traded and settled using blockchain technology. In today's conversation, we'll follow a simple why, what, how structure, first exploring BX Digital's vision and positioning in the market, the why behind this new regulated platform. Next, we'll examine the technical implementation and market approach, what exactly the company is building with its newly approved trading facility. The how then comes in two parts. We'll analyze how BX Digital differentiates itself from competitors like SDX and the advantages of Switzerland's regulatory framework. Then dive into the specific settlement benefits and challenges, including ledger choices and a crucial question of cash side settlement. Let's dive in with Lydia Kurt. Welcome, Lydia.
Hi, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I love having you here since you're doing very important work in Switzerland and Europe for crypto adoption or DLT adoption in an institutional context. And I love seeing you back here as we work together very fruitfully at Swiss Stablecoin AG. So could you introduce yourself to our international audience beyond Switzerland? And what's your background in financial markets and blockchain technology?
Yes, pleasure to do so. So my name is Lydia Kurt. I have worked in finance for the last, say 15 to 20 years. I've always worked at the intersection, though, of finance and technology, because tech is what actually fascinated me the most in the financial sector. I have come across blockchain technology across around 10 years ago, and I founded a company called VisionAnd 8 years ago, which is a consulting company. So we helped banks, we helped exchanges, we helped fintechs building products in the digital asset and blockchain space. So that's how I got into the topic. That's how I got into industry. And that's especially how I got to know a huge amount of projects. And that's also why I ended up with BX Digital today. Because what I saw is actually that there are so many tokenization projects out there, so many projects that are evolved around digital assets and blockchain, but only very few actually have a potential to change financial markets.
And what then motivated you to focus on bringing blockchain technology to regulated financial markets in your current role?
So as said in the introduction, I'm coming from the financial sector. So that's the market I know. But what fascinated me most in bringing technology such as blockchain to financial market is that it can actually change something. So for me, DLT is the next big thing in terms of technical steps with regards to financial market infrastructure. Why I'm saying that? So what we see when the internet came is that it changed everything around information. So how you exchange information. You're not sending a letter anymore. You're sending an email, right? So the exchange of information, what was changed by the internet. However, DLT is actually changing how we exchange assets. So the asset is becoming digital. And it's for the first time in financial market history is that the asset itself is digital. And that not only changes a bit how the market looks like and whether we can have new asset classes, it changes the financial market infrastructure from bottom up. And that is a huge potential to actually make something new, something disruptive.
Yeah, so now you are serving as a CEO in the regulated financial environment. Can you maybe a bit elaborate on how your work changed? So do you need to be more careful in what you're saying? Do you observe more obstacles in terms of blockchain adoption because it's the regulated environment?
Yeah, so when we are talking about financial market infrastructure, it's a heavy regulated environment. For me, that's obviously something that's challenging, but it's also something that's very interesting to actually tackle that challenge. Because it's not just about bringing something new to the market, it's about bringing something new to the market that actually fits a regulatory regime. And it also needs to fit not only an existing regulatory regime, but sometimes also new evolving regulatory regimes. So for example, in the EU, we have pilot regimes. So it's also a moving target. It's not set in stone how those regulations look like. And that is challenging, yes, but it's also very fascinating because you can do something, you can build something and thereby also challenge those regulations and actually make those regulations move in a direction that makes sense for financial markets. So I wouldn't say the regulations are about like keeping us aware that we don't make something that is a mistake or that doesn't fit the financial market regulations, but it's really about bringing the regulation also into this new world. And because this regulation is adapting and it needs to adapt to those new technological possibilities.
Yeah, so to me, it feels like you're really driven by impact. What I understand is that DLT as a technology is interesting or fascinating to you, as it has at least some disruptive potential to get rid of intermediaries, to reduce cost. Am I reading that right?
Yes, definitely. So this possibility to have an asset digital is so disruptive in itself that it will allow for business models that we do not yet know about. As we didn't know about Uber and Instagram being business model of the internet when the internet started, we do not yet know what the business model of this new age where assets are digital will look like. So for me, it's very fascinating being at the start of that and being at the center of that, because the only thing I know is that this new element of having an asset digital is so disruptive that it's going to allow many new things. Just think about connecting the asset to conditions, what that means. Think about being able to transfer peer-to-peer digital asset, what that implies for financial market infrastructure.
Excellent. So your personal background, your professional journey are super interesting. I personally find professional journeys in the institutional crypto space or in the crypto space in general always interesting because it's such an emerging industry and no professional journey equals the other. So it's always interesting to see how careers evolve in that space. And your one is a particularly cool one. So thank you for sharing your personal background and professional journey. And with that, how about we move on to the why, what, and how of BX Digital? So let's start with the why, the vision and the positioning of BX Digital. So for those listeners outside Switzerland, outside Europe even, who are unfamiliar with BX Digital, could you explain what the company is and what your core mission is?
So BX Digital is a trading and settlement venue for tokenized securities. We bring the whole exchange, the whole security trading infrastructure, as well as the settlement infrastructure to the next level. So we like to say that we are starting the new chapter of capital markets. Our vision is to actually use this functionality that I was mentioning for having assets digital to make trading and settlement also more efficient. And thereby, a very important factor is that the trading itself, so we are a trading and settlement venue, but the trading itself is very traditional. So for us, the key innovation is in settlement. Because the asset is digital, we can revolutionize how we settle the asset. And just for the listeners that are not that deep into that topic, is the trading level is about finding someone that would like to buy an asset that you would like to sell. Settling is the level once you found someone that is actually buying your asset, how are you exchanging asset and cash? And there in that part, the magic happens when the blockchain comes into play.
I totally agree. For example, I expressed this opinion or this position in one of the opinion pieces I wrote for Ferry, an asset manager, already back in 2021 and in a revised version in 2024. And I love seeing this opinion and position materialize. By now, it's kind of clear that the efficiencies that can be levered by DLT in the settling area exist, but now it's cool to see it actually materialize and to some extent quantify it. So can you quantify it to some extent? To what extent settlement has become faster and cheaper?
I give you two numbers. On the cheaper side, we are able to reduce settlement costs domestically by up to 50 to 80%, depending on the asset class. So for every settlement you are now conducting, you're going to pay 50 to 80% less than you did before, just looking at domestic settlement, so within Switzerland. If you're looking at cross-border settlement, so for example, you're buying a fund in Luxembourg, and there we managed to reduce those settlements cost of even up to 90, 95%. So it's a massive reduction in terms of price that you're paying for settlement by using this new technology. The second number is on the speed. Today, settlement regimes, as it's called, it's mainly in the regime of T+2. What does that mean? If you are buying an equity share, for example, you usually get that equity share only 2 days after you actually bought it. You as a retail customer wouldn't really realize that, but because as soon as you buy it, it usually appears on your front end, on your e-banking screen. However, the actual equity share is not yet in your account. That usually goes for 2 days until it's there. We reduce those 2 days to 30 minutes. So the asset is in the account within that speed, no matter what.
Yeah, it's so cool to see that, let alone on the domestic side, so a settlement in Swiss franc denominated asset to Swiss franc fiat currency already has such a potential of 50 to 80%. And we didn't even start talking about international settlement between assets denominated in a fiat currency and then the fiat currency in a different currency, where I would assume that efficiencies are even higher. Am I correct?
Yes, totally correct. So the big issue about the pan-European market is that you have a so-called CSD within every country. And those are national silos. Those CSDs are responsible for making this settlement work currently. So those are those intermediaries that make sure that the asset and the cash is being exchanged. Now, because you have a CSD in every country, that also means that there is high complexity if you are trading across countries. So different intermediaries need to be involved there. That not only takes a lot of time, that is also very costly. So yes, you're absolutely right. By implementing a blockchain-based settlement infrastructure, we also like to talk about a unified single settlement infrastructure. You obviously reduce that cost heavily, and you allow for that speed pan-European wide.
And CSD stands for, just for those listeners who are unfamiliar with the term?
So those are central securities depositories.
Okay. So BX Digital recently received FINMA approval as a DLT trading facility. What exactly does this milestone mean for the Swiss financial market?
On one side, it's a huge milestone for us as a company. We have worked on that for the last 3 years. We have been in detailed conversation with FINMA for the last 1.5 to 2 years. So it's a really long journey to actually also make FINMA as a regulator comfortable with us having a settlement infrastructure on public blockchain. So that's a huge step that we reached. But it's also a huge step for Switzerland as a whole. And we really feel that. And it's very nice because now having communicated that we received the license, we feel like almost all of Switzerland is very happy for us. It's a whole an industry in itself that is actually celebrating that milestone. And because it's a big step for the industry that in Switzerland, we managed to be again at the forefront of DLT disruption. So we are the first one that got that license, but it's also a signal to Europe. It's a signal to the US that, okay, we are at the forefront when it comes to regulated financial market infrastructure. And we managed to do that on public blockchain. And that's why it's a huge sign for Switzerland also to show to the world.
Yeah, so we are still talking about the why of BX Digital. And I understood it's about leveraging facilities, efficiencies in the settlement aspect. But of course, we also need to look at the assets that are actually settled. And on what assets are you focused? Is it cryptocurrencies, securities, bonds, everything?
So we are focused on securities only. We are not doing any cryptocurrencies directly. There might be, if you manage to do like a security with cryptocurrencies as underlyings, then you can also bring that on the exchange. However, it's really about tokenized securities. Those are equities, those are bonds, those are funds, ETFs, and those are structured products, ETPs. So it's really about securities. And that's also how we differentiate us a lot from existing cryptocurrency exchanges. Because cryptocurrency exchanges are about trading Bitcoin, Ether, and the like, which is very important in itself. But what we look at is a much bigger market. It's looking at the financial securities markets, which is, I don't even know how many more in terms of like, it's like a million times more in terms of market capitalization. That's probably a bit overstated. But what I want to say is that it's hugely more than the cryptocurrency market. We talk about all the equities out there, all the bonds out there, all the funds out there that have the potential to be tokenized and be moved on this new infrastructure.
Yeah, which makes total sense, your focus on tokenized securities, because the settlement of cryptocurrencies already is pretty straightforward. I mean, these are blockchain native assets that simply can be settled in a final way on their level one blockchain, while for securities, it does need an intermediary or service provider who organizes the settlement of these tokenized securities. So
it's also a much more regulated market than the cryptocurrency market. So it took longer to actually use the technology also for securities than it is, than it took time to actually use the technology for cryptocurrencies. So that's why we are at that point only now, whereas for cryptocurrencies, you could actually use that technology and use an on-chain settlement infrastructure already before. But what we are doing is actually, we are looking at the cryptocurrency or at the DeFi space and try to learn how it's being done very efficiently and bring that to the regulated securities market.
Yeah, and to conclude the why section, what is your relationship with Börse Stuttgart? Why was Switzerland chosen as the location for this venture of BX Digital?
BX Digital is a subsidiary of the Börse Stuttgart Group. Our sister company is the Swiss exchange BX Swiss. So we are both part of the Börse Stuttgart Group. Why Börse Stuttgart Group decided to actually start DLT security related ventures in Switzerland, it's because on one side, the law was favorable in Switzerland. So meaning that we had the DLT law very early on. The possibility of having such a DLT trading and facility license already existed before it existed in the EU. And it also existed outside the pilot regime. So whereas in the EU, we have a pilot regime, meaning there are quite strong limitations on what you can actually do. In Switzerland, we have a regime that is quite free of limitations. So we have the bigger potential here to actually scale. The second reason to do it in Switzerland is talent. So we have very good people here. So we built the whole infrastructure in Switzerland with the people from Switzerland. And that's also why we chose to start here and scale from Switzerland to Europe.
All right, that makes sense. So this now brings me to the what part of our conversation. So what you actually built, what it actually is, what approach to the market you follow. And of course, then the first question is, when it's about tokenized securities, are you providing the tokenization solutions directly to tokenized securities, or are you creating a platform for banks and other players for your customers to bring then their tokenized assets to you?
In Switzerland, it's the latter, meaning that we can do trading and we can do settlement. We do not offer a tokenization platform. We really follow an open ecosystem approach, meaning that we set certain standards. So we're saying, okay, you need to have, for example, a CMTA standard, which is a well-known Swiss standard. But we also offer other standards, so ERC-20 based standards. And once you follow those standards, you can choose any tokenization provider out there. And you can bring that token to our trading venue, list it, and settle it through our venue.
Just to be very clear, when you said the latter in Switzerland, you mean that you're creating a platform, but you're not providing the tokenization solution yourself.
So yes, our platform is for trading and settlement. For doing the token, making the technical token, the tokenization itself, you can choose any other provider that is out there.
Okay. Could you maybe also explain the infrastructure you're building? So as I understand it, is it primarily a trading system or a settlement system, or is it simply both?
It's a trading and settlement system. But what is very important to differentiate is that the trading layer is fully traditional, meaning it's not on the blockchain. We are even using the same trading venue as our sister company, BX Swiss, is using. So as traditional exchange is using. With that traditional trading venue, we are able to trade tokenized securities because it's basically just trading an ISIN, so a unique identifier. Where the magic happens is in the settlement asset. So that means trading layer, traditional, not on the blockchain. Once the settlement instruction comes out of the trading system, it goes into our proprietary built settlement solution, which uses the blockchain. And it uses the blockchain in a hybrid form, meaning that the assets are on the blockchain, and we'll come to that in a second. The cash is off-chain using fiat, not a stablecoin or an on-chain cash version. So what we built is this settlement infrastructure layer. That's the new part. And that's where we can actually gain or make those efficiency gains.
Yeah, so that's actually cool what you're doing. You're combining the best of both worlds. You're combining the well-known trading systems of TradFi on the one hand, and on the other hand, a newly built settlement system based on DLT, which is kind of your IP or your secret sauce. And of course, the combination of both.
Yes. And why did we choose a off-chain trading venue? It's, as we are saying, on one side that we want to make it as easy as possible for our trading participants to connect. Our trading participants are bank and other financial institutions, so not retail. They have existing connectivities to trading venues such as ours. So they can use their existing connectivities. They do not have to change anything on the trading layer. The second reason is that it's very difficult to do market making if you do trading on the blockchain. You have to imagine if you have to put every market maker quote on the blockchain, that's very expensive. So there are good reasons to actually keep the trading off-chain and only do the settlement on-chain. That might change in the future once blockchains even scale more. However, at the moment, for us, it's the way to go, and it makes it very easy for trading participants to connect.
Okay, understood. So the settlement system is where the interesting stuff happens. It's your IP, your secret sauce. And then, of course, the ultimate design join is which blockchain have you selected for your infrastructure and what factors influence this choice?
For us, it was very important to start on a public blockchain environment. We chose Ethereum mainnet as our first blockchain to settle on. Why did we do that? It's on one side that we see, especially in Switzerland, the tokenized securities ecosystem mainly plays around Ethereum. That looks different in other countries across Europe. However, in Switzerland,
Polygon might be more present in Switzerland and Germany, right?
So Polygon is really a thing that is very common in Germany. It's coming in Switzerland, but the most used blockchain in Switzerland is Ethereum. And it's also the blockchain that has the highest security standards, or for us, like making such a regulated financial market infrastructure, it's always having a trade-off between, for example, scalability, costs, security, right? So the distributed nature of Ethereum and the scale, the usage of Ethereum made it for us the prime blockchain to actually start our financial market infrastructure. It also made it a bit easier for the regulator because Ethereum is a well-known blockchain, and it makes it easier, like once we start on public, that they can actually, they know Ethereum, they can judge it more easily than other blockchains.
Beyond the choice of the actual blockchain, a second very important design decision is how you handle permissioning. And since you chose Ethereum, at least in the first place, permissioning cannot happen at the infrastructure level as the platform you chose is not private permissioned. So am I right that permissioning at BX Digital happens on the application level through whitelisting of your customers.
Yes, and that's a very clear design choice on our side. We don't believe that the permissioning needs to happen on the infrastructure level. We strongly believe that there you can go for a permissionless infrastructure. Interestingly enough, in Switzerland, on the asset level, we do not need a permissioning either. So you can issue tokens and you do not need such a whitelisting, which would be the permissioning on the asset token level, right? It's often the design choice of the issuer, though. The issuer decides that he wants to do a whitelisting and makes a permissioned framework on his asset token. For us, as a trading and a settlement venue, we do not have the requirements that you need to whitelist your tokens. What we are doing, we whitelist our trading participants that they can connect to our settlement system. But we do not whitelist the tokens ourselves.
Super interesting. So now that we understood the what, so what you built, what design choices you made, probably we move on to the third part, which is the how you differentiate yourself, how you kind of navigate through your competitive landscape. And that in Switzerland obviously brings me to the question, how does BX Digital differ from SDX, which has been operating in Switzerland for several years without achieving the widespread adoption you, at least in my reading, do?
So SDX had a very important role as a pioneer. They started so early on with their project that there wasn't even a DLT regulation yet in Switzerland. So this pioneering work needs a lot of respect because there were large banks involved and so they did a lot of work for the financial market in Switzerland. However, it was very difficult doing that in a time where there was no DLT law yet. We have the huge opportunity to actually do it in a time where there is a specific DLT law that allows to use the capabilities a blockchain has and to use the blockchain as really settlement infrastructure layer. The SDX couldn't properly do that yet. We could, and we are choosing to do so. And the main differentiating factor is, in my opinion, that we chose to do it in an ecosystem that is already existing. So meaning we chose to do it in a public blockchain ecosystem. We can tap into a market of around, I think it's now over $20 billion of already tokenized assets on public blockchains. Those $20 billion of tokenized assets is the market potential of assets that we can list. It's also the market potential of all the infrastructure that's already out there on public blockchain. All the wallets that banks implemented for storing cryptocurrencies, we can tap into. All the standards that are already out there for Ethereum, for other blockchain networks, we can tap into. SDX has a private blockchain infrastructure, meaning that they need to build the demand for their infrastructure in a silo way, and they cannot tap into an existing ecosystem. And I think that's our main differentiating factor, and that's where I see our biggest potential.
Yeah, something that differentiates you too is that you pursued your approval in Switzerland rather than through the EU's DLT pilot regime or through MiCA, where MiCA predominantly applies, at least, no, MiCA does already apply to crypto asset service providers, CAS. Would you be a CAS under MiCA?
In the EU, you differentiate between all the assets that are under MiFID, and everything that does not fall under MiFID falls under MiCA. Because we are talking about tokenized securities, it's a MiFID topic. So you're clearly in the MiFID space and not in the MiCA space. So for us, for example, the EU DLT pilot regime is relevant.
Okay, and why did you pursue approval then in Switzerland rather than through the EU's DLT pilot regime that is applicable to your case?
Let's say if we are doing one thing, it doesn't mean that we are not doing the other thing. For us, going into Switzerland first was the first entry point because the law is already there. We have an existing exchange here and we can build it up. We have the good talents, we have the good technology. But obviously, being part of the Börse Stuttgart Group, we have a clear European ambition. And we have one big advantage across Europe. we can think the financial settlement infrastructure new. We are not a CSD, such as, for example, STX is, such as the Deutsche Börse has as with Clearstream. So we can think settlement new. And that's our ambition as well. So we look across Europe. We have a clear European ambition and very happy to talk about that once that's going to a phase where we can talk about.
Yeah, very fair point. It's not one or the other. It's just a sequence. And your natural starting point was Switzerland for the outlined reasons. And yes, we then already know when we invite you again, the latest when you receive European approval.
Very happy to come then.
That's cool. So yeah, we are talking about the how you differentiate yourself, how you navigate the competitive landscape. Another aspect of how you're actually running your business is how you materialize settlement benefits and how you navigate settlement challenges, as settlement of securities, of tokenized securities, is your key value proposition, as I understand it. And we already understood that blockchain-based settlement truly is more efficient than traditional methods. You already quantified, at least on the domestic side, so within Switzerland settlement, that the efficiencies materialize. Maybe we can deep dive on the cash side of securities settlement. So not the assets, but the cash side. What kind of cash do you use? Are you using stable coins, tokenized deposits, some form of wholesale CBDC, or all of the above?
Allow me, on your previous question, allow me to give you an example before deep diving into the cash topic, because I think that's very important also to illustrate how these efficiency gains then actually come into play. So we have interest from large Swiss corporates who are doing daily liquidity management, meaning that they manage how much cash they have on their bank accounts every day. And large corporates have usually two ways to do that. Either they can park their cash with banks, usually Swiss banks, or they can invest their cash into money market funds. Now, if they realize at 11 in the morning that they have additional cash liquidity needs at 3 in the afternoon, the only thing they can today do is actually take the cash they have on their bank accounts. So they need to park quite a bit of cash on their bank accounts. Because if they would like to sell money they parked in the money market funds, that would usually take 2 days or 1 day to actually arrive. Now, having the option of having tokenized money market funds, they can invest the cash into those tokenized money market funds, which has less issuer risk than parking it with the banks. And if they now need cash at 11 in the morning, they just sell tokenized money market funds and they receive the cash within 30 minutes. So it's we have to think also outside the DLT space to really like normal corporates and their needs. And there you see how tokenized securities and having this potential to have really high efficiency gains and have the assets and the cash very quickly makes a high differentiation.
So let me just repeat, so to make sure I understood it correctly. So in the traditional system, a company in need of liquidity could sell its money market fund, for example, but the money only arrives after 1 or 2 days, although the liquidity is needed way faster. And with your solution, the capital is in the account within minutes. And this not only then improves responsiveness, of course, but also capital efficiency. Do I get this right?
Absolutely. And it reduces massively the risk they have, knowing that there is an issue of risk with banks.
Excellent. That was a super good example. It's an example easy to grasp and making it easy to understand where exactly these efficiencies you quantified actually come from. Yes.
But now coming to your real question on the cash side. So we did our settlement infrastructure by using an off-chain cash leg. What does that mean? So I was saying in the beginning, once a trade is happening, you actually have to exchange asset versus cash. So someone has to pay for the asset that he or she bought. And how it's often done in the DLT space is taking on-chain cash, meaning a stable coin, meaning tokenized bank deposits, or we can even talk about central bank digital currency, CBDCs. However, in our situation, and we did a lot of research, we talked with a lot of banks and analyzed their cash management systems. And we truly believe that the world is going to be at some point a world where we have on-chain cash and where we can use on-chain cash efficiently. But in today's world, the bank highly prefer using their existing cash systems, meaning they wanna settle in central bank money. So they don't want to have issuance risk towards a private company. They don't want to have counterparty risks toward another bank. They want to settle as they are used in central bank money. So what we did is we looked at our payment system in Switzerland. It's called SIC, S-I-C. It's being run by the Swiss National Bank, deployed by SIC. And we found a way to actually trigger into SIC. That means what we are actually doing, we are taking the asset that's being sold, we block it in a smart contract, we then trigger a cash payment between banks. So we as a trading and settlement venue, we can trigger payments directly from one bank to the other. So we are doing that. Once the cash payment has been successful, we get a notification and we can release the assets that we blocked on the smart contract on the blockchain and transfer it to the one that actually bought the asset. And that process takes 30 minutes. So that's how we can ensure delivery versus payment while the asset is on the blockchain and the cash is in fiat in existing payment system.
Okay, so that means you're implementing a trigger solution, quote unquote, that connects to the SNB's RGTS. You are not, or that the Swiss National Bank is not providing central bank currency directly on your ledger, which is similar to the SDX model, correct?
So as far as I understand the SDX model, yes, they're using some sort of SDX coin or recently tested also with CBDCs. So that would be an on-chain cash version. But we are not doing that. We are triggering into the existing fiat system where the banks are currently using their cash systems on, meaning they can use their existing cash accounts, doesn't change anything for them. And that goes back to the topic we had on the trading system. We want to make it as easy as possible for the banks to connect. Now with our trading and settlement system, they can use their existing trading connectivities. They can use their existing cash system. The only thing that they actually need new is a wallet where they can store their digital, their tokenized securities. That's the only thing.
Got it. Now, the form of cash being used for settling tokenized securities brings us to the roadmap. So as I understood, you are at the moment using a trigger solution that connects to the SNB's RGTS system. But now, moving to the future outlook and your roadmap, do you plan or at least foresee to use different forms of money for settling the tokenized securities?
Yes, definitely. So on one side, so our tech system is ready for on-chain cash. So we can use on-chain cash. It's really a deliberate decision not to do it at the moment. However, at any point we would like to add it, for example, for other currencies, it would be a regulatory approval process. But once we go through that, we would actually be able to also do on-chain cash settlement. We have a clear roadmap in terms of technical developments. On-chain cash is one of it. But we also, for example, have multi-chain functionalities on our technical roadmap, meaning that we are going to extend from Ethereum to other blockchains as well. So there is a clear roadmap there.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually a precious discussion, organizing the dimensions of your roadmap. So one is the forms of money or cash you offer to settle. One is the blockchains you support, and another one is the actual assets that are being tokenized. And then the actual products you offer. So we talked about the cash side. We talked about the blockchains just right now. Maybe about the specific products, which we didn't even talk about. So what are your actual products, its or their names? And which products are on the roadmap or product extensions?
Yes, so we have around 50 issuers of products in our pipeline. Those will be listed on our trading venue. They're not going to be all listed from day one, but it's a nice pipeline to actually bring more and more products on the market. We have products in the pipeline across all asset classes, meaning that we have equities, so classical SME equity. We have real estate equity. We also have private equity, so really bringing private equity to the end retail investors through their bank is one of the use cases. But we also have bonds in the pipeline. One important topic are funds. And as mentioned, those money market funds, for example, are one big use case as well. So we are diversifying across the asset classes, and we are going to go live within the next 6 months with bringing those asset classes on the exchange, with bringing the first banks on the exchange as trading participants, and will then grow step by step from that.
Okay, interesting. So when you talk about products, you refer to the actual assets that are available for settlement. Yes. How do you then refer to the BX digital products that you price? So what are you selling and pricing to your customers?
That's, for a start, quite easy. It's really trading and settlement. So meaning there's a price tag for trading and a price tag for settling. That's about it. Obviously, looking forward, we mainly try to improve on those components, meaning that we manage to trade more assets, that we manage to settle through different routes, for example. But it's really the core of it is trading and settlement as products for BX Digital.
Okay, and are there any extensions in the pipeline to offer additional BX Digital products beyond trading and settlement?
To be honest, that in itself is already quite of a big thing. So today, if you would go to an exchange, they only do trading. So adding the settlement component to it is already a massive step. So we really like to focus on where we are really good at and do that right.
Yeah, totally makes sense. I mean, you can now perfect the settlement layer, yeah, which is urgently needed as our global financial market infrastructure really requires some innovation. So let's focus on this one, make this perfect, and then we can solve different problems. Yeah. So as you already outlined quite some asset classes you support, where can you observe the most immediate traction for tokenization in the market? Which asset classes are more frequently tokenized and then settled via your platform at least?
So it depends a bit on whether you're looking from the demand or the supply side. In terms of from the supply side, we have a lot of traction in the sense a lot of interested issuers on the SME equity side. We also have quite a lot of interest on the structured product / ETP side and fund side. In terms of the demands, the buy side, we especially see interest in products that bring something new. And that could be because it's tokenized, it's new. So the money market fund, as an example, the money market fund itself is the same thing as it is traditional. But the new thing is it settles instantly or within 30 minutes. Or there's interest in products which offer a new access. So, for example, the private equity case. If retail investors didn't have access today, they are interested through a tokenized form if it gives them access in the future. And last but not least, they are interested if the asset itself is something new, has a new functionality. And there you need to have a bit of a fantasy in the sense of that's where we don't see the full potential yet, meaning that we see the first assets being tokenized, but we don't yet see where the journey is going. We see first functionalities such as digital shareholder meetings that you can then have, or daily coupon payments as an example. So really new functionalities in the asset itself. But there really everyone is advised to think openly what actually new functionalities the assets could have. And those assets we will only going to see in the future and we don't see yet today.
I'm just witnessing that I forgot to talk about a very important aspect in the settlement part, that is counterparty risk. How do you ensure that assets and payments actually are exchanged without counterparty risk on using blockchain technology?
So that's ensured through the mechanism where we are blocking the asset in our smart contract. So we take the asset that's being sold, we block it in the smart contract, we only then release the payment And only if the payment is successful, we release the asset again. So there is never, ever a situation where the asset exchanges hand and the cash doesn't, or vice versa, the cash exchanges hand but the asset doesn't. There is also never a situation where we would hold the asset or the cash. So that ensures that there is zero counterparty risk, and that's fully eliminated through the technology.
Okay, so if I got it right, you adopt a special delivery versus payment smart contract on Ethereum that eliminates counterparty risk. So that once an asset is locked in the smart contract, you trigger a payment via the Swiss Interbank Payment System, or SIC. And after the payment is confirmed, the smart contract automatically releases the asset for transfer to the buyer.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, sorry with that question. I kind of damaged our neatly designed structure here for the episode. But I think in settlement, counterparty risk is so vital that we need to talk about it.
Definitely.
And so jumping back to our future outlook. So Lydia, if you could now start a wish concert and really boldly envision BX Digital's role in shaping not only the Swiss, but the European financial market infrastructure, how do you envision BX Digital's role to play out in shaping the whole European financial infrastructure?
We see our role to offer a pioneering role and to offer a blueprint in how a financial market infrastructure, and specifically the settlement infrastructure, can look like in the future. Without the need of a CSD, so without the need of an intermediary to actually look that cash and asset is exchanging hand, simply by the fact that the asset is digital, the asset is tokenized, how we can use the technology to build a new financial market infrastructure that is way more efficient than today's infrastructure.
Okay, so your ambition beyond earning money, of course, since you are a company, is to be that that pioneering company that proves really in a live setup, so with real settlements, that this is possible, feasible, and profitable.
Definitely, and we are at this right moment now. We are in a moment where all the puzzle pieces are in place, meaning up to now we have talked about tokenization, we have talked about digital assets, but now there is not one single piece missing. So there is a secondary market, we have a cash solution, we have custody infrastructure, we have standards, we have blockchains. So everything is in place. Now, to be like really bold, we have the opportunity to change how financial market infrastructure looks like. And we believe with the infrastructure that we built for the last 3 years, we are in a very good role, in a pioneering role to show that on the global ecosystem, there is a potential way how it could work.
You mentioned an interesting point, secondary markets. The lack of secondary markets has so far and usually been considered the biggest hurdle for tokenized assets to date. So are you really sure? Isn't your solution actually poised for a breakthrough?
It definitely is. It was the missing piece. And we managed to do that, because why was it the missing piece? It was so difficult to bring a regulated financial market infrastructure, like regulated secondary exchange for tokenized securities to the world. And we managed to do that. So yes, so that missing piece is now here, and we can stop doing proof of concepts. We can actually start going live with a scalable market.
Yeah, so I cannot underscore enough how nice it's to see that all the often reiterated propositions, hypotheses, white papers that global financial market infrastructure, at least for settlement, requires innovation, now does materialize in a profitable, in a feasible, in a quantifiable way. I wouldn't be surprised if you're not approached by potential buyers, since kind of proved a breakthrough. But of course, you couldn't answer this question in any way, shape, or form. But I cannot underscore enough how cool it is to see that this finally materializes. Yeah, and with that, we're actually coming to the end of our conversation. If not, you have some other aspects to mention to our our audience that we potentially missed covering? So is there anything we forgot talking about, which is really at your heart in understanding BX Digital?
I think I'd like to emphasize one last point, and it's we are in a changing environment, and there might be open questions the listeners have. And we are very interested in the exchange with listeners. We are interested in the exchange with interested banks. We are interested in the exchange with potential issuers. So if you listen, then if you think, okay, that's something that might affect me, that's something that might affect my company I'm working for, so please feel free to reach out, and we have a team that's very happy to discuss the ideas and see whether there's a potential to collaborate.
Yeah, thank you very much for that offer. So in case listeners do want to reach out to you or to BX Digital, how do they ideally do so for both cases?
Yes, so we have a website, bxdigital.ch. You can go on there. You have a lot of information there. And there you also have all the contact details. So very happy if you look through that there and contact us.
Excellent. With that, I wish you a very pleasant evening. Looking forward to a potential future touch point regarding anything institutional crypto, Lydia. I wish you all the best for further pushing BX Digital in this pioneering role. Thank you for spending your precious time with us.
Thank you. It was a big pleasure being here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The views expressed are solely the personal opinions of the hosts and are provided for informational purposes only. This podcast does not offer financial or investment advice. Always conduct your own research and make well-informed decisions before investing. Please be aware that the hosts and guests may hold cryptocurrencies or digital assets discussed in this episode.